Okay, today is the day, and I am so excited for this episode because today we are going to go through and dispel some of the incorrect messages or false messages that I see being sold to photographers. And it's okay if you see a marketing message that doesn't hit you in the right place every once in a while. That's perfectly fine. What I'm talking about are the old school ideas that used to be part of the photography industry being perpetuated over and over and over on social media. And what that results in is shame and bad feelings by the people who see these. And in this podcast today, I'm hoping that we can dispel a lot of those things so that you can move forward in 2023. Yes, we're almost in 2023. With a new, fresh idea of how you want to run your business and the positive steps that you can take to make it the business that you want to have. So let's get started today on the Focal Points podcast, brought to us courtesy of my friends at Enphoto. You are listening to Focal Points, a podcast by Enphoto, hosted by Dori Howell. You are in the right place to learn how to build a dynamic and sustainable photography business that you love. Now, there are a lot of things that you need in your business that are absolute necessities, like websites, like great camera gear, and customers, and people who want to pay your prices, and income, and all those different things. And unfortunately, taxes, you have to pay taxes and all those different things. That is not what we're going to be talking about today. Those are needs in your business. Those are things that breathe life into your business that it needs to survive. What we're going to be talking about today are some of the things that I see out on the internet being taught by people or just being instilled and ingrained by people when we're in Facebook groups, Instagram posts, all those types of things. And I have quite a list here, and I'm excited to share it with you today. So this is how we're going to go ahead and get started. The first thing that I would like to add to this list, and oh, total side note, this list is in no particular order for me at all. I did that on purpose so that it's not calling shame or anything to the people who've been putting these messages out, but it's just something I think we need to talk about in our industry. So number one is guaranteeing your client that you're going to keep their images forever. First of all, we can't guarantee that because our hard drives fail, our computers go down, we lose images, things can happen very, very easily. So that's not something that you can tangibly guarantee. You can do your best, but you cannot guarantee that you are going to keep your clients' images forever. And I actually recommend that you don't. I don't tell my clients that I keep their images forever. I tell my client, depending on the situation, that the images will be available for 60 days. After that point, I have no obligation to tell them if I purge them. Their purchasing window is ideally at the selection appointment for their session, which I talk about in a previous episode if you want to know how I do that. But they need to get their images right away. I'm not holding them forever. First of all, I am not a digital asset storage facility. There are certain rules and regulations that go with guaranteeing people that you're going to hold on to their digital images or their digital files or their digital assets forever. There's a huge liability in that, and you don't want to get involved in that. Now, on, you know, we're just doing photos. If you're doing like contracts and documents and that type of thing, it's a totally different ballgame. But making that guarantee that you're going to hold on to these images forever is something that you don't want to do. And some of the opposers to this opinion say, well, digital storage is cheap. Just add it on. It's another $9 a year, blah, blah, blah. Here's the thing, most of the clients that I work with when it comes to coaching, $9 a year, $15 a year, $64 a year, $8 a year, $7 a year, it adds up. And eventually you could be finding yourself paying for things on an annual basis that you and your clients do not need. And that cuts into your profitability. So you don't want to offer things that you can't guarantee for the most part and that you have to pay extra for. So what I do is every year I purge my images out, and if I have time and so forth, I send an email to my clients and saying, hey, I'm getting ready to purge your files from your session. If you're interested in getting these, please let me know. Super, super quick email. Let me tell you, In 15 years of doing things this way, only one client has come back and said, yeah, I want to look at those again and make sure I didn't miss anything. In 15 years. So the fact that you would be paying for extra storage that you don't need, adding an extra service that you really may not, your clients may not use at all, I don't see it getting a real return on investment telling people that you're going to hold on to their digital files forever. All right, the second thing, let's normalize and let's be gentle and let's be understanding and welcoming of photographers who don't want to charge thousands of dollars per session. It's okay if photographers only want to charge a couple hundred dollars per session. Now, as someone who does charge thousands of dollars per session, I see the potential in every photographer that I meet, knowing that people will pay more for the work that they do. But if someone doesn't want to do that, isn't comfortable with charging that much, it's a long road to go from a couple hundred dollars a session just in your mindset and your business knowledge to be able to move up to thousands of dollars. That's not a jump that most people can just decide overnight. Hey, I'm charging $350 for an all-inclusive session right now. And guess what? Tomorrow, I'm going to charge $5,000 for IPS. That doesn't happen automatically for most people. And so when I see people piling on photographers who are just starting out and don't have a handle on their pricing yet, and really, really beating them down, there's no need for that. They're just not where you're at yet. Give them some time. Give them some grace. Point them in the right direction in a gentle way. They will get there if it's meant for them, if that's their journey. But if it's not their journey, hey, it's their business. Let them run it the way that they want. The other thing, the next thing that I see that I would really like to normalize is the idea that not all photographers want to pick a niche or a niche, however you say it. It doesn't matter. It's okay if people want to generalize. And if you equate this to the medical profession, there are very, very successful doctors who are generalists, and you go to them and then you might get referred to a specialist. It's okay if they just want to take pretty pictures of a lot of different things and it makes their clients happy, it makes them happy. They don't need to niche down. It's perfectly okay. Let's normalize being accepting of that. The next thing I would love to normalize is it's okay if a photographer does not want a 6 or 7 figure studio. That 6 figure marketing trend that gets thrown out so often implies that if you don't want that, somehow you're less than. Somehow you're doing the photography industry a disservice if you don't want to make that much money. The trick here is that many people running 6 figure studios are not any more profitable than someone running a $40,000 studio because they're not running that effectively. They haven't put on their business pants to know once they move up, they also need to allot for different changes in a lot of different areas. Scaling a business doesn't just happen by the income that you bring in. It's also how you strategize and format that business underneath that figure. So if you don't want to go through that process, it's totally okay. There is no magic thing that happens when you bring in 6 figures a year. Trust me, there's nothing magic. If anything, it's a lot more work because you need to really watch your profitability and your numbers to make sure that you're bringing home the income that you need to not only sustain your business, but also sustain your lifestyle. So let's normalize the fact that it's okay if we don't want to bring in 6 figures, right? All right, the next thing I would love, love, love to see normalized is it's okay to shoot in JPEG. It really is. Now, I shoot in JPEG sometimes, and the reason I can and the reason that I do is because I'm a pretty good photographer, and my JPEG images are very clean and crisp. They don't need a lot of edits to them. They don't need a lot of manipulation to hand them off to a client. Or I'm doing an event or so forth that they just need to be quick and dirty, and I'm just handing them off. There's not a lot of post-processing work that happens with them. All my images can be edited in the way that I need them edited with JPEGs. Now, I do shoot RAW for portrait sessions and that type of thing, but I do shoot JPEGs sometimes when the situation makes it easier for me from a workflow perspective. So shooting RAW everyone, like when you switch over, sometimes people are like, oh yeah, I was shooting JPEG and now I'm shooting RAW, but I don't like my images as much. It's because they're uncompressed files and they do allow for a lot more flexibility when it comes to editing. So if you are have a highly, highly stylized style for, and you're doing lots of composites, you're doing lots of work, there's a lot of color grading and you know cloning and patching and all that kind of stuff that needs to happen to your images that you need that extra data in the pixels, then yes, shoot in RAW. But if you're doing regular sessions that aren't going to require a lot of editing and post-processing, shooting in JPEG really is okay. It's just a file format. It doesn't mean you're professional or not professional. It's just a file format. Your client's never going to know the difference because you deliver all JPEGs anyway. They don't know. So create less work for yourself when it comes to that. All right, I'm going to stop right here. I'm going to let us pause for a brief, brief moment from our sponsor, Enphoto, and I'll be back in a second. Can I let you in on a little secret? Now I know we've just totally interrupted the podcast and we're going to get back to everything in just a minute, but I want to share with you my very favorite option from Enphoto that my clients love, and it's what they call their complete set. And it's a 3-in-1 combination product that includes an album or a dream book or photo book, a box, and a USB. And you don't have to get the USB, but my clients love having everything all together in one place. And I love the presentation that I can wrap it up in a beautiful bag and just hand it to them. And it's everything that they wanted from their portrait session with me. It's practical, it's a contemporary product, and the complete sets please both print lovers and digital lovers because it includes the best of both worlds. You can tailor this product to meet your needs, and it creates a stunning photo set that will absolutely show your work off in the best way possible. Now, here's the secret. Do you want to get a 75% sample? Are you new to Enphoto and you're not too sure exactly where to start? Head over to the show notes page, click on my special link, and you can get a special 75% discount and a discount on further purchases for the next calendar year. That is unprecedented in our industry. You don't want to miss out on this. Go check out that discount today. All right, here we go down the list. The next thing that I would love to normalize for our community is not editing your images until your client purchases them. If you're an all-inclusive photographer and they're buying a package from you that includes all the images that you cull from the session, then yeah, you're going to have to edit them and to save some time. But if you're doing any sort of selection appointment, you do not need to edit all your images before you show them. So when I was doing newborn work, I would approach my editing this way. And this is when I was doing my own editing before I started sending it out. I would cull the session down. I would edit 2 or 3 images to perfection. So my client had a really good idea of what the images would look like. Then in Lightroom, I would do any cropping needed. I would do any color grading that was needed. And then I looked at the images and I said, okay, what things in these images are going to be a distraction for when they want to purchase them? So in newborn sessions, I knew that if there was a pacifier off to the side on the blanket, I would edit that out. If there was anything like in the image, then I would edit those things out, but I wouldn't necessarily do all the skin smoothing and all of that that's required of newborn portraiture. For family pictures, I concentrated on mom and I said, okay, what did she maybe communicate to me about being insecure about? What did she say that I might want to take a look at when I'm doing the editing? And I would just do it on her. I would leave the rest of her family alone for the most part, because mom was usually the one making the final decision of what got hung in the home and what was distributed to friends and family. So those were the way that I approached editing, and nothing was finalized, but I just made minor tweaks here and there so that the presentation was closer to what final images would be like, to help mom visualize things and fall in love with the images better. But you do not need to sit and edit 30 images, especially if you're doing a selection appointment of any kind. You don't need to sit and spend your time by, you know, editing those images or paying someone to edit those images, and then they only purchase 4 images out of a gallery of 30. You've wasted time and you've wasted your resources. Every client that I have worked with when I've started this process understands why I do it this way. Nobody has a problem with it. They trust my visual eye. They trust my creative input if there's an issue with something. and we go from there. And also, I don't let them proof the images before I order them for print. So, and I don't let clients, we don't do proofing of albums either. I've taken that work step out because you'll just go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and it will stretch out your workflow forever. And it'll just tie up so much of your time that you can't devote to marketing or to new clients. So I tell them, oh yeah, I can take care of that. Say there's a little blemish or a stray away hair or something. Oh yeah, I'll take care of that. I take care of it and I print the image and I send it to them. Only one time since I've started doing this, I started doing this about 8 years ago, has someone come back and said, hey, this doesn't look right to me. And when I explained what I did on the image, they said, oh, okay. And there were no remakes made. So taking control of your art and coming from a place of authority with your clients, of letting them know you understand what they want and what's going to look best, you don't need to go through a proofing process back and forth. All right, here we go. The next thing that I would love to normalize in our industry is working part-time. You weekend warriors are awesome. You full-time moms who are trying to create something for your families and create income in an area that maybe you've struggled with because you're at home with the littles, like, kudos to you. Hats off for you. Hats off to you for hustling and trying to create something basically out of nothing so that you can make your life better. Weekend warriors can be beasts and they can be wonderful, wonderful photographers. Don't look down, if you're a full-time photographer, don't look down on those people who are really, really in the hustle. And I think we forget sometimes, those of us who've been doing it for a long time, full-time, it's a whole different mindset of when we started our business, when we were maybe going to work for 8 hours a day, coming home up late at night editing, then doing sessions on the weekends and trying to fit all of this stuff in. The hustle is real and the hustle should be respected. Now, the hustle should not be looked at as a long-term solution. Hopefully there's an end in sight so that we can refine this and make it a little bit more livable. But if you only want to work part-time, go for it. It's awesome. Create the life of your dreams. Create the vision that you want for your life and your business. Nobody else should have any sort of input to that except maybe your family, your immediate family members, and your vision for what you want to have happen with your business. So it's totally okay to work part-time. Good for you. And the last thing that I would like to normalize is I would like to normalize some marketing messages that we are fed in the photography industry, that we are fed that the five-figure, the $10,000 sale is the best thing ever, and it's going to revolutionize your business, because it's not going to. A $10,000 sale is going to make you feel really, really great for a period of time. But unless you have developed the core strategies behind how you got that $10,000 sale in a scalable and repeatable manner, that's going to probably be a one-time thing. So what you want to do is you need to prioritize profitability over ego. You need to prioritize good, solid business education versus the newest trend on the block. You need to prioritize and normalize great marketing strategies versus one-off attempts or promotions. All of those things are super important for the longevity of your business and the profitability of your business. So if you struggle with some of these things, or if you would like to create a better strategy for your business coming in the new year of 2023, what I would love for you to do is go over to the show notes page or the podcast page at focalpointspodcast.com, scroll down a little bit and put your name and your email address in the little box there that's there for you so that I can send you some information about how I can help you build a stronger, more profitable business that suits your lifestyle in 2023. I would love to help and I would love for you to reach out. Thank you so much for joining me today for the Focal Points podcast brought to you by my good friends at Enphoto. And while you're on that Focal Points podcast page, scroll down to the bottom and make sure that you have taken advantage of the 75% off sample from Enphoto. You can get an album, you can get some wall art, and they're also throwing in a free accordion album with that order as well. So don't miss out. As we're starting the new year, do you need to upgrade your samples? Do you need to take everything up a notch? Now's the time to start planning. Take advantage of that offer from Enphoto, and we will see you next week. Thanks for joining me. Thank you for listening. This has been Focal Points, an Enphoto podcast hosted by Dori Howell. We hope you've enjoyed the show, and we will see you next time.